Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We will be starting the program today by talking with you a little about homesteading, but also about the upcoming Soil Sisters event. Back with us, Lisa Kivrist, a national advocate for women in sustainable agriculture. She's the author of the award-winning book, Soil Sisters, a Toolkit for Wisconsin Farmers, and leads the Soil Sisters Initiative project. For over 25 years, she and her family have run In Serendipity Farm just outside of Monroe. Lisa, great to have you back.
Hey. Hi, Larry.
Good to see your smiling face. And with me in the studio today, Jessie Wellington. Great to have her here as well. She's a self-taught shepherd and gardener. Her homestead is Red House Farm in Monroe. And she and her family focus on raising their own food and living as sustainably as possible. Jessie, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I tell you what, both are participating in the Soil Sisters event. It's August 5th through the 7th. And I'm wondering if you've participated in it. It's been 3 years, and it's great to have it back. But if you did, what'd you enjoy about it? What questions you have about maybe getting into farming? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Lisa, let's start with you. It must feel good to be able to have the Soil Sisters event once again.
Oh, it is so great, Larry. It's been a long 2 years for all of us in many ways. And we really missed coming together like this and being able to open our barn doors and share our farms. And a new pivot for our Soil Sisters weekend is everything is outside, so we can enjoy the beautiful sunshine and summertime in Wisconsin and have plenty of room still for socially distancing. So, yeah,
so, game on. So all outside. Anything else that may look different about the event?
Sure. Well, we have a lot of new workshops, like the ones Jessie is leading on her homesteading through the year, fresh new faces, and just a good vibe in that we are just also ready to be back and ready to celebrate.
Yeah, ready to celebrate. And we can talk some more about the specifics. And Jessie is part of the specifics, I guess. You're one of the event speakers.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about your topics.
So mine is a bit of a farm tour, talking a little bit about our homestead and what that looks like. We decided to focus it around the homesteading year because one of my favorite parts about the homestead is just kind of getting into this rhythm of the seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, the seasons start out real slow when we have some time to rest over the winter and think about and plan for the coming year. And then we start kind of by tapping some trees in February, dip our toes into the water a little bit. And then all of a sudden by March, April, May, it's full steam ahead. And
it's a whirlwind.
It's a whirlwind until about October when we get to kind of slow down a little bit again and turn back the dial. And I love that rhythm of the seasons.
Yeah. And so, and by the way, thank you so much. You brought us some maple syrup.
Yeah.
So that's what you're starting with in February.
Yeah, that's sort of the kickoff to the year, is kind of the first project that we undertake.
And then for your own income and so forth, part of that is maybe maple syrup, but part of it's other things as well, I would guess.
Yeah, we kind of put together a whole lot of things for the products from our sheep, honey from our bees, vegetables from the market garden. But the primary purpose of the homestead is to provide for us and our family.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm looking at the Soil Sisters site. It's pretty. Say you do a nice job with that, Lisa.
Well, hey, this is a team effort if ever there was one. And I love Jessie's story about the year and that cyclical nature of living closer to the land, because that's really what, not just us Soil Sisters in the Greene County area where our event is, but throughout the state, of women caring for the land and wanting to have these land-based seasonal lifestyles like Jesse's talking about. Same thing we do at our farm at In Serendipity. And yes, we are in peak abundance right now for sure. But Mother Nature takes care of us as she takes care of the land. And there's times of the year where we do slow down and catch up on other things and enjoy the abundance while it's here.
And maybe talk a little more about the Soil Sisters group itself. You know, it's an interesting history, and I know you were involved in really getting it going.
Sure, Larry. So our Soil Sisters group in southern Wisconsin, again, Greene County, we started meeting for potlucks probably about 15 years ago. And it was a drive amongst women in my area, myself, who, like myself, are small-scale, organic, sustainable, ag-focused operations. And we were feeling isolated in that we still are a pretty big ag state, and we didn't know each other, even though we were in the same community. And gathered around in our living room. We didn't have an agenda. We didn't have a plan other than let's just meet and see. And lo and behold, when women gather over good food, things start sparking. So we've literally been meeting regularly ever since, and our project has evolved to now this whole weekend event, plus a lot of other things going on throughout the year. We are now officially a project of Renewing the Countryside, which is a Minnesota-based nonprofit that is kindred spirits with us in the rural revitalization front and are actually working on pilots and have a toolkit coming out to help support new networks of Soil Sisters throughout the state. So, yeah, it really has been growing over time, and it's interesting, too, reflecting now, having had 2 years of COVID, on that importance of community and us knowing each other locally and the amount of support and things that were exchanged during always, but especially during this last time period, really shows that resilience, which again goes back to that homesteading nature. It's interesting we talk about homesteading because people sometimes get a image of independence and isolation, you know, in the sense of we want to do everything on our farmstead all by ourselves and live here. But we Soil Sisters really promote and celebrate that doing it in collaboration. We don't have to do everything. I grow vegetables, but I barter and gift exchange locally for our meat, our eggs, our chicken. There's a lot of that going on. And that's the ultimate sort of commerce, right? To keep things local and know your neighbor and not have to do everything.
Talking today with Lisa Kivrist and Jesse Wellington, who are very heavily involved with the Soil Sisters, and there's their great Soil Sisters weekend coming up August, what is it, August 5th? I forgot the date already.
Yeah, August 5th, 6th, 7th, I think.
5th, 6th, and 7th, there we go. And, you know, describe this event for us because maybe both of you could chime in. Lisa, start with you a bit more because there are, I was looking at the event and there are lots of things to do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, some a bit different each day, but I think there's even some repeating of things. If you miss one day's activity that, I went to the other one, I wish I could have gone to that one, so forth and so on.
You bet. You have options. So we started doing this Soil Sisters weekend event about 10 years ago, wanting to share our farms and bring people out to the growing fields, especially in this peak abundance time, to see where your food comes from and to experience that and maybe spark some new farmers along the way. So that's evolved to a whole weekend of events. Everything is ticketed. There's all the information online. So make your plans and you can literally choose your own adventure of where you want to go. We kick off on Friday. Friday is sort of our flagship educational event that is specifically for women. All of the other events for the weekend are anybody can come. Anybody's encouraged to come. But Friday we kick off with what we call Soil Sisters Share, a buffet of resources, ideas, and inspiration for women farmers. So this is going to be at Christensen Farm with Katie Dixon in Browntown outside Monroe. And this is a day-long event truly for women who want to start farms and maybe not have done anything yet. A lot of women who come, it may be their first ag event they attended. They may be wanting to return to their family farm or have visions of new land or maybe somewhere in the middle. And it's an event here to basically connect women with each other and with, importantly, resources. So we have over 10 different organizations represented there from all the USDA acronyms, FSA, NRCS, to great local nonprofits like the Fair Share CSA Coalition to answer questions. So then we kick off with that. And then on Saturday and Sunday, we have over 20 on-farm workshops run by soil sisters like Jesse and I. So those vary in topics, but they all focus on skills and things that we want to experience on the land, on the farm. So everything from preserving the harvest, and Betty Anderson's doing one on pressure canning, to gardening. Heather Lynch in Brooklyn Greenhaven Gardens is doing one on gardening for flavor. And how do you really pick different varietals for the culinary side of food? We're doing on our farm a sustainable living simplified, very long intensive that takes you through our journey of the farm and what we've been doing for 25 years, and stressing very much that it is a journey and that we learn as we go, and we all are growing in that sense. So it's very much opening up, not literally, I mean, also our barn doors, but also our businesses. And that's what's really unique about women-run businesses, I feel, especially in our Soil Sisters networks, is that transparency of sharing what we do, and how did you do that, and how much did you make at that, and what would you do differently? And it really defies perhaps traditional business models, right? If I walked into a business class at UW and said I was going to teach a class and basically share exactly how I've done everything over the 25 years so others can start, they'd probably say I was nuts. But hey, we need some new models here. And that's how things work, is by sharing. And the more vibrant farmsteads we have, the more people happily homesteading we have going on, I think just the more resilient we're going to be as a state and a country.
And you know, there's been, and you, I guess we've talked about this in the past a little bit, but there been some changes in the laws of the state that have made the business side of things a little, well, opened them up, I guess, for people who want to sell their maple syrup or sell their, maybe they bake cookies or whatever and they want to sell them. Maybe talk about that. And I imagine, Jesse, that you've taken some advantage of that.
We have. Lisa's really been instrumental in changing some of the laws around food and cottage food sales. So
you've been able to do it. Maybe Lisa, you can talk a bit more about what people could do.
Sure. So, well, we don't have a law. But we had a lawsuit.
That's what it was. Yes.
another. Branch of democracy. We had a successful lawsuit, myself and two other soil sisters, Chris Marion and Della Enns, that successfully lifted the ban on the sale of baked goods. So yes, indeed, since 2017, it's been legal to sell your baked goods out of your home kitchen. We actually have a second pending lawsuit for all non-hazardous products, which would really be great, particularly for farms and homesteads, because that would include things that don't go in the oven, like dried herbs and tea mixes, that sort of thing, roasted coffees, candy. So definitely more opportunity. It's been a interesting road to get there. But I'm actually doing a workshop on exactly that, starting a food business from your home kitchen during Soil Sisters weekend too. So there's definitely options for folks. And if people hit barriers like we did, like, wait, you mean I can serve you muffins at my bed and breakfast, but I can't legally sell you these same muffins? And we come together and we make some changes. So yeah, we'll be talking about all of that as well. But there's definitely not a better time to start a farm, Larry, because there's a lot of support. When we moved to our farm, my husband John and I, now 25 years ago, from Chicago, having just fallen in love with Wisconsin and the countryside, we moved to our farmstead, not having planted a seed, which I don't exactly recommend that strategy, but we were also pretty alone. There wasn't a whole lot going on as far as resources go. And to flash forward to today, we have a very vibrant, small-scale, sustainable, organic ag community in our state, and so many resources, so many great nonprofits, and so many agencies, too, within the state and the federal government that want to support and have the resources to support beginning farmers. So going back to that Soil Sisters Share event on Friday, we will be able to navigate some of those resources and things like, how can you get a high tunnel on your farm so you can expand your growing season and have some financial resource support from NRCS? If you're looking for a farm and you don't have the capital, the collateral to just buy a farm outright. How could you work with FSA, Farm Service Agency, and apply for one of their beginning farmer loans that can help you, again, access that land and get going? So there's more and more of those resources, and especially for women, because in some of the Farm Bill programs, women are still considered what's called a socially disadvantaged or historically underserved group, meaning we have been historically discriminated against in a lot of just farm programs, not as represented as we should be. So there is some catch up, but there also is a lot of opportunity now to take advantage of these, and agencies wanting to encourage more women's involvement.
We will give you a chance to join in. Questions for our guest today. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you have a question about the event that we're talking about, or maybe questions for Jesse and Lisa about getting going, or what's it like to homestead, as Jesse is doing, and we'll be talking about the day, one of the days or a couple of the days of the event. Again, the number 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today. Tyler Ditter is our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at homesteading a little bit, and we're taking a look at the Soil Sisters event that is coming up in, in about 2 weeks. I think it is now August 5th, 6th, and 7th. It's an event that they had to cancel for a couple of years because of COVID, but now it is back. And Lisa Kivirist and Jesse Wellington, our guest Lisa, she and her husband and family farm and have run in Serendipity Farm outside of Monroe for a long, long time. Jesse Wellington, probably not quite as long, but she's a self-taught shepherd and gardener. Homestead is called Red House Farm in Monroe. She and her family raise their own food and live as sustainably as possible. Questions for them, either about the event itself or about what they do and how they do it. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And if you attended one of their events, earlier events, I hope you'll join in and comment on that as well. Jesse, what do you consider a homesteader to be?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, I was thinking about it when we were setting up to talk about today and thinking about how it all started. And when we lived back in Vancouver, we had a little apartment. But that's really where it was born. That was where the homestead was born. You know, we started by growing some plants on our balcony, and then that got a little bit small. So we moved over to a community garden, and we got a couple plots of land there and started growing things and learned so much from the people around us. You know, I really hadn't done much growing at all up to that point. So seeing how these people from all over the world were growing their gardens and what they were growing and what they were successful at, it was a great opportunity to learn. So that was where everything really started. You don't have to have a huge plot of land. You don't have to raise everything that you eat in order to be a homesteader. You can just find the things that motivate you. So for us, it was food. We wanted food, because everything is about food for us. So we started with the gardening, and then we added some chickens for some eggs and some meat. We added some bees.
Now, this is when you got to Wisconsin.
This is when we got to Wisconsin, and we had a little bit more space to work with. We started with pigs and had some wonderful mentors. April Prussia, one of the Soil Sisters, kind of walked us through that for a few years, but realized that what we really had in abundance was grass. And we needed something that we could feed grass to make ourselves as sustainable as we could. And so we moved into sheep and learned about becoming shepherds and chased sheep around a pasture for a while.
Do you make cheese with the sheep?
We really haven't. The breed that we have is a fairly small breed. So if we have to milk them out to feed babies or something like that, we're only getting a cup and a half of milk, really. So yeah, that takes a lot, a lot of time.
Not gonna get a lot of cheese out of that.
No,
but so you use the wool then.
Yes, yeah, it's a dual purpose breed. They're called Shetland sheep. They're a little bit smaller, so I can work them myself. My kids can work with them. The breed really suits us well. But and they're delicious.
So the reality has lived up to expectations?
I would say it has. It's been a winding road. We would never have guessed that this would be what it looks like, but it's been such an adventure and so much fun along the way and has connected us with so many incredible people.
Yeah. We should take a call. And by the way, you can join in 800-642-1234, but Denny in Ogdensburg, we'll go to you. Denny, thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning. On Sunday, there was a lady homesteader from Vermont on public radio and talking about how it's gotten so expensive in Vermont to pick up homesteading property, primarily because of the pressure from California money buying stuff sight unseen or Boston money buying stuff sight unseen. What's the market now like in Wisconsin to be able to even start homesteading?
Yeah.
That's a really good point, Danny. I've heard that about Vermont as well, because New York is just moving out and moving north. I'm not so familiar exactly with the real estate situation in Wisconsin. Land prices have gone up. But one thing about homesteading, though, is it's the best anti-inflation tactic that you can have, whether you're living on a farm or you're living in a city as Jesse used to be, of that self-reliance of growing some of your own food, or as we do on our farm, generating our own power, as Jesse does too. We tap into the sun and the solar rays to generate electricity. So those types of skills we're talking about here can really combat inflation in a way that isn't really talked about enough. It's not necessarily how much more money do we need or how expensive something is getting. It's what can we do with what we have. And that living closer to the land and those seasonal cycles and tapping into things that have been a part of our natural story for, to say, generations, but really centuries, right? That can really both create a stability, both financial, but I would argue also as communities, that we can be more self-reliant both in our own families and also within each other.
Denny, thank you so much. Did that help, Denny? Thanks.
It does, but my question still is, can you afford to get into it? I live in a town of 190 people, a home that's, I live on the edge of it, that was sold 10 years ago, just sold for 5 times what it was sold for 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it that's my question, because I'm totally supportive. I live on 2 acres and, you know, I cut firewood and raise some of my, we have our own garden and lots of reasons, but that was just my question. Can young people afford the initial investment to just get started? And I hope they can.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Well, Lisa, you were talking earlier about finance, in terms of finances for somebody who wants to get started.
Yes, Larry, that goes back to the Farm Service Agency, FSA, that has a portfolio of different loan programs for purchasing a farm, and particularly for young people who might not have capital or the credit history, et cetera, but they have the farming track record. You've had experience and you have a plan, you have your business plan, et cetera, that those can be really good to tap into, because they basically have a very low interest rate. They're very amenable to farmers. They're not on a banking calendar where you have to make your payment necessarily every month. It can be more seasonal because our money's come in more seasonally, et cetera. And that's what we'll be talking about more, and have FSA staff with us to answer questions at the Soil Sisters Share event. So that is a venue that can really be used, particularly now when, prices are high, and that is a barrier for everybody and anybody. There are some ways to at least minimize that, and FSA is one option.
And FSA, as you say, FSA will be at your event.
Exactly, with a number of other resources as well. So it's sort of we called it a buffet, the workshop a buffet for a reason. And there's a reason too for a buffet, because there's so many different options right now when it comes to, even if it's your own homestead or starting a farm business, et cetera, there's lots of different ways to do it. As Jesse was talking about, things come slowly one after another. you add things, you expand things that are working, like the sheep worked for them, and let's roll with that. So we want to be able, within both the Soul Sisters Share and throughout the whole weekend, provide folks with options and ideas and stories about, hey, here's how we do it. Here's how something we tried and didn't work. Here's something we want to do in the future, and to learn from each other.
And by the way, the website, how do people learn how to sign up for these events? Because there are some costs associated with some of them.
Yeah, the workshops, all the information is at soilsisterswi.org. The Soil Sisters Share event we've been talking about, that's a whole day event for $25. And we have scholarships available, so any woman can come. We'd love to see you there.
Let's take another call. Shelley in Fredonia, we'll go to you now. Hi, Shelley. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was curious if any of the education was about the cover crops. We see a lot of cover crops in our cash crops around us, and my husband is interested in doing cover crops in our garden or the food we eat to improve the soil health. So do you have any education or workshops on that topic?
Mm-hmm. Shelley, thanks for calling. Yeah, Lisa, go ahead.
Great reminder, Shelley, on cover crops. So important. Yeah, multiple ways. We will be having NRCS resources at the Soil Sisters Share event. And something we'll be doing there that's really cool is there's something called a rainfall simulator. So it's literally a trailer that they're bringing where they show different types of soil. And some soils that have had cover crops and that are healthier, and that they basically simulate rain, and you can see the absorption and how much healthier the absorption is in soil that has cover crops versus other types of farming. And then throughout the weekend, when you experience these farms, and particularly the workshops that have to do more with the gardening side, Della Enns at Scotch Hill Farm, she and her husband, Tony, have been longtime organic pioneers over there. And she's doing a whole day intensive, a crash course in organic gardening, she's calling it. So you'd hear all about cover crops and how they've used those on their gardening and beds for different things. They've run a CSA for years. So different types of crops, but cover crops add nutrients to the soil and are an easy thing relatively to do. So yeah, they're sprinkled throughout the weekend.
Yeah. But that one in particular, I think, would be especially useful for Shelley and her husband. I think it's called the title of that was not only organic gardening, but they also mentioned regenerative farming. And that's what came into my head when I was thinking regenerative farming. Or was I wrong about that? I was thinking cover crops and things of that nature.
No, exactly. It all goes hand in hand.
It all goes hand in hand. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org, wpr.org. Let's go back to In Serendipity. Man, we've talked about the before, but it's been a while. You mentioned in passing renewable energy, but tell the story of your operation.
Sure. And we'll actually be doing this at that Sustainable Living Simplified workshop I mentioned, of literally a timeline of starting from when John and I were born, actually, to where we are now and how everything is incremental. But the quick story, we moved to our farm in 1996, coming from Chicago, and a phase of life my mom still calls our normal phase, where we had jobs in cubicles with paychecks. But we were drawn to the land in Wisconsin, Larry, and something about it has always been magical for us. But at that stage of life in our 20s, back then we just turned 30, we said, let's give it a go. And so that's what started our journey at In Serendipity. We're just on 5.5 acres outside of Monroe. And we have been learning as we go. Every season is different. Things are definitely more extreme on both ends now due to a changing climate. We find a longer growing season. And we also find an increased need for the renewable energy sources. We've done a variety of things on our farm. We were powered by the wind for a while. And then when wind prices and solar prices shifted, we shifted to a 10.8 kilowatt solar array, which basically powers our farm. And then some we sell back to the grid. So our meter goes both forward and backwards. And we get a check back from the utility, which is nice. So it's really looking at the multiple aspects of our life and our homestead. And there's different things that go into that. There's the food that we eat and how can we grow that. There's the energy that we need to run our computers, to run our world still today, right? And how can we generate that in a most sustainable way? And on and on. So we're always learning. It's always such a rewarding process to meet other people and host things on the farm because we learn so much from others that come.
And the inn itself, do people still come and maybe spend a weekend with you right on the farm?
Yeah, we have pivoted a bit right now during the pandemic still to more of the growing fields and the B&Bs. Yeah, just unfortunately being in the home, it's something we can't do safely yet, but I look forward to that and bringing that back as soon as we can. Yeah.
A listener emailed to ask how you decide where to invest limited time throughout the year when many farming chores require lots of time, some not so much, but how do you decide what to grow each year? I'll start with you, Jesse.
Yeah, it's really a question of just kind of thinking about what most excites you. What are you going to be able to find the energy to raise? So, for us, we really wanted our food to be something that we were intimately connected to, that we knew where it came from, that we'd produced ourselves. And for me, I've found throughout this process that I really get motivated to get up in the morning and get out there and see the animals and see how everybody's doing and check on baby lambs and feed the chickens and see their excitement about life in the morning. And that really gets me out of bed. So, to me, that is what keeps me going. And that's what, helps me to find the energy when it's been raining for 5 days and the mud is up to your ankles and and that sort of thing. So I would just encourage you to kind of go through a process of thinking, all right, what really motivates me? What are my priorities? What gets me out of bed? What gets me excited? And start with some of those things.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, what about you?
Yeah, I thought Jesse articulated it really well. It needs to be fun. It still needs to be something that we enjoy doing. And that has to do with not doing it all, as we've been talking about. Early on in our homesteading journey, I was making cheese and I was brewing beer. And I quickly realized, why am I doing that? I live in Wisconsin. There are so many terrific cheesemakers and brewers here. I do not need those skills. And I can focus on other things and support people who are doing it very well. So I'm constantly asking myself that question, even this many years into it, of what do I not need to do? And also, too, to prepare for the seasons. And that's what Jesse's workshop on the homesteading year highlights so well, is there is a seasonal flow to things. And yeah, it's busy now. We get it. But that makes it all the more important to take advantage of the winter here in Wisconsin when things are dormant, both outside and arguably should be a little bit in our lives, right? And that's when we dream some bigger dreams and we start thinking about next year's garden and we start thinking about what we could do new and hopefully plan it in balance. I'm guilty of that. Come February, the summer's wide open and we think we can do everything and anything. And I'm learning. I'm constantly learning to keep things manageable. You can ask my husband, John, on that. I'm still working on that one. But it's just, he was saying, if it's done with joy and heart and community, it all is worthwhile.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned February, and that's when Jesse starts up.
Yeah, that's the beginning of our season. We start tapping trees. We start thinking about the sap flow. We start planning our shearing for our lambs. We start feeding our sheep a little bit more so that they've got nice, healthy lambs when the time comes to have their lambs. And yeah, that's sort of the kickoff to the season for us.
Now, there are a lot of people who work with that maple syrup that use, there's a boiling process that has to go on, and a lot of people use propane anymore, but you don't.
We don't. We are lucky enough to have a wood lot that we can draw some wood from, and we do ours over the fire. And to me, it's a product that you just can't get anywhere else because it's got a bit of a smoky taste to it from the wood. And it's really a unique product, and it's something that we look forward to using all year long.
Yeah, I'm thinking about dipping a spoon into that jar and have a little taste before we get
Yeah.
But let's go back to the event and give us a rundown, Lisa, again of the what's and the where's and the why's and what people are going to be able to see at this 3-day event. And by the way, you don't have to come to all 3 days. You can come to 1 day or 2 days or all three, I guess.
Sure. And Soil Sisters Weekend, August 5th through 7th, actually ends the Wisconsin Women in Sustainable and Organic Ag Week, as declared by Governor Evers. So that's going to be all next week, and we are excited to be a part of that. So basically, yeah, Friday through Sunday, there are different workshops going on 20 women-owned farms in the Greene County General Area, about an hour south of Madison. And you can choose what you want to attend. So again, all on that website, soilsisterswi.org. And pick and choose, see what you want to do. But they're all led by a fabulous group of women who are committed to conservation, sustainability, community, and our Wisconsin landscape. So you'll meet a lot of really cool people. And that's part of what we're all about, is those personal story sharing. So it's a very unique weekend. It's a one-time thing we do once a year. So come on down. A lot of the workshops are family friendly, like Jesse's. You even see like different pricing for adults and kids. So some, just take a look. There's different things. You can email any questions off the website, but there's many to bring your family and kids to experience this too. We have another workshop at Wegmuller Dairy, a classic Wisconsin multi-generational family-owned dairy, to experience that and to see the cows and pet the calf. And that one is family-friendly too. So there's quite an array. There's quite a diversity, just like Mother Nature. There's a diversity in what we do in our communities and what will be showcased on the Soil Sisters Weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And as you say, and the farms, you can see on your website a look at where the farms are located, and they're reasonably close together. I mean, but there's a little driving involved to get from one to another if you're going from one spot to another to hear a different.
Exactly. And so that's, the map is just to kind of plot things out. Some of the workshops are in the morning, some in the afternoon, yeah. Some are day long. And we also have two culinary events. There's a Pizza on the Farm Night Soil Sisters fundraiser event at our place in Serendipity on Saturday night. So come on down for that and meet some Soil Sisters and taste some pizzas with some good local cheese, of course, from Emmy Roth here in Monroe, and local vegetables. And also we have a new event this year that kind of ends the session, the weekend, on Sunday from 4 to 6, Landmark Creamery in Paoli. Two Soil Sisters run that, Anna Landmark, Anna Thomas Bates. They're going to be doing a How to Taste Cheese Like a Pro session. That is a special one that runs 4 to 6, where you can really get the sensory experience of how to try cheese and pair it with different drinks and other foods. And it'll be a really cool event. So if you're heading back to Madison after your Soil Sisters workshop, you can catch that one in Paoli.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a real pleasure. I know this is going to be a successful event. I want to thank you both for taking time to be with us today. It's always fun talking with Soil Sisters. I've
Thanks.
Learned that over the years.
Thank you.
Jesse and Lisa, thank you both so much. And we'll look forward to another visit down the road. Thank you. Lisa Kivrist and Jesse Wellington, our guests today, talking about the Soil Sisters event and about homesteading. I learned a bit myself, and I hope you did too. And kind of, well, a bit in the same vein, I think we're going to turn our attention to the land and talk about land trusts. The Wisconsin Land Trust community has grown a lot in the past 30 years, and we'll learn some more about that next. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.